They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Is Hollywood the new Wall Street when it comes to political donations for Democrats?
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. President Obama will probably be a pretty popular guy at a Hollywood fundraiser tonight after announcing his support for same-sex marriage yesterday. The president will be here in Southern California for the fundraiser and could pull in as much as $15 million. As Marketplace's Sarah Gardner reports, Hollywood money is more important than ever for President Obama this year.
4 years ago, Hollywood was gaga for Barack Obama. Entertainers had donated over $4 million to his campaign by this point. This time around, it's about half that. But between tonight's gala and some mega-sized super PAC donations from studio head Jeffrey Katzenberg and comedian Bill Maher, Obama clearly can still count on Hollywood. Lucky for him, especially since he's losing some of his Wall Street donations to Romney. Bob Bierzak at the Center for Responsive Politics says Mitt and Wall Street, it's a no-brainer.
He comes from that business. That's home for him. Those people have known him for years, and he was successful in that industry, and so he has lots of friends, I'm sure.
Not to mention Obama's comments about fat cat bankers. After tonight's $40,000 a ticket affair, the president's due back in Hollywood next month, he'll be raising campaign funds from gay donors, and that should be sold out as well, especially in light of the president's same-sex marriage endorsement yesterday. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Now to Russia, which is dealing with a human tragedy this morning after one of its passenger planes crashed into a volcano in Indonesia yesterday. There were 45 people on board and no signs so far of survivors. The other part of the tragedy for Russia is that the plane was its first new passenger jet since the fall of the Soviet Union. Reporter Peter Van Dyke joins us now from Moscow with more. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, Peter, tell us about the implications of this plane crash for Russia's aviation industry.
Well, the Sukhoi Superjet 100 is really what the Russian aviation industry has invested all its hopes in after a very, very bad 20 years since the end of the Soviet Union. Now, it was on a promotional flight. They are hoping to sell a lot of these planes to Asia. It's a mid-range regional jet, seats around about 80 passengers, and it hopes to be very competitive in these markets, where Russia is again trying to establish itself as a potential provider of planes.
And Russia does not have a great history when it comes to civil aviation, especially in recent years, right?
No, that's very true. The number of crashes in Russia and the former Soviet Union is quite a long list, and many of them, like this one, involving a lot of casualties. And these crashes are caused by a number of factors, the aging Soviet-era fleet, but also there is problems with pilot training, with ground crew, with maintenance, and with infrastructure at airports. So all these things combined make for some pretty big problems for the Russian aviation industry, and that's something that the Sukhoi Superjet is trying to overcome. But increasingly, Western firms such as Boeing are doing more and more business in this market.
Reporter Peter Van Dyke joining us from Moscow. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jeremy.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mostly lower in global trading this morning, down about 0.5% right now in London. The government of Spain has taken over one of the country's biggest banks, Bankia, in hopes of ending a four-year-old banking crisis in Spain. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 97 points to close at 12,835.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
Building a highway these days is a lot trickier than it was back in the 50s. There's a lot more stuff in the way now. Just ask lawmakers in Illinois who may vote today on a bill that would fast-track construction of a highway east of Chicago. The Illiana Expressway would connect Illinois to Indiana. Makes sense, right? But the method the state wants to use to get the land for the freeway isn't sitting well with many residents in its path. From WBEZ in Chicago, Lauren Chulgin reports.
When Todd Benjamin and his wife Colleen found out about the project, they raced to their computer to see if the state was planning to seize part of their property for the construction.
From what I understand, they're going to put that highway right here on the north side of this property between here and that grove of trees.
According to an online map of possible routes, Benjamin's livestock trading office could soon front a massive expressway. His family has owned land for generations.
And now they're talking about taking it away.
A bill is pending in the Illinois House that would give the Department of Transportation quick take powers for the expressway. It's basically a fast track version of eminent domain. The state government chooses the land it wants and then tells a judge what it'll pay. Property owners can take that money and run or fight in court over the value, but that's after their land's been taken. Dan Tarlock is a professor at the IIT Chicago Kent College of Law. He says quick take is a common practice for states around the country. It's often used for public-private infrastructure projects like the Illiana Expressway.
In order to induce the private financing, quick take's a big incentive to invest. Otherwise, a lot of private money would be tied up.
State Senator Toy Hutchinson sponsored the bill. She says quick take also speeds up the process.
Eminent domain takes about 3 years, but quick take takes about 2. So if you add another 24 months for land acquisition, then we could be breaking ground in 2016.
Hutchinson says the project could create around 14,000 long-term jobs and could bring $6 billion in investment over the next 30 years. But she says she does feel for landowners who could lose their land, especially in a region where most property is passed down through generations. Todd Benjamin says that doesn't matter to him and his neighbors.
It wouldn't make any difference if it was 6 years or six generations. It's yours. It's not theirs.
In Chicago, I'm Lauren Chulgin for Marketplace.
And finally, to the British Cheese Board, which wants a new national anthem for the UK's most popular cheese, cheddar. It's asking people to come up with lyrics to the tune of songs like this one, God Save the Queen. One cheesemaker told the BBC it'll be a fun way to combine two of the best things in life, music and cheese. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.